There is another story. Many came as peaceful immigrants, farmers transporting their way of life from bleak flatlands to rich pastures. Through their occupation, English was earthed. This ability to plant itself deep in a foreign territory became another powerful characteristic of English. Many tribes or small kingdoms came over at different times, principally the Saxons, the Angles, and the Jutes, with splinter groups within and around, speaking different dialects. Though mutually intelligible, they were often at each other's throats. That variation, too, became part of the story, not only in the regional dialects at home, but in the sunburst of variation abroad. Nor for all the groans of the Britons did they give up that easily. The struggle with the British Celts went on for over 100 years, and the Celtic language, so threatened by the hammering force of the German tribes, was in fact saved, in Wales, in Cornwall, in the north of Scotland, and in Gaelic. It kept its integrity. It would take 200 or 300 years for English to become more than first among equals. If you go to Friesland, an industrious province by the North Sea in the Netherlands, you can hear what experts believe sounds closest to what became our ancestral language. Even entire sentences which you overhear in the street, sentences which contain not one word that you can translate, sound eerily familiar. But where did Frisian come from? In 1786, Sir William Jones, a British